Yes, it is opening night in the NBA, and it all starts at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, NBA Straya. We're back, baby! Woo! That's right. Hey, y'all. It is NBA Strayer. It is Wednesday hump day. Well, not really hump day. It's Christmas in 2 days. Have you got all your shopping done? I have. You better well have. It's the 23rd of December, mate. What are you doing? Anyway, I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios. A nice and cleared out Larry Armour Studios, because old mate's not working from home at the moment. She's on holidays, which is unreal. Unfortunately, I'm not, because the NBA season started today. Woo! So we're going to give you the lowdown on all that while ripping Australia a little bit. That's what we do here on this here program. And we've got a bunch of news everywhere, so we're going to cover all of that, of course. But wow, actual real life non-bubble, non-preseason NBA games. Unreal. So today, we kicked off the season. We got the return of KD and Kyrie. We got Steph. We got the Lakers versus the Clippers. That was awesome. Playoff P rocked up in the regular season. That's nice. So we'll cover all that in the NBA Australia game wraps. Of course, we've got Yeah Nas. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. We've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. But also means we get the return of the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. That's not a knife. Spot of the night. Old mate, no mates. Panting in the evening. Better than Lonzo Ball. Excitement plus. We've also got a brand new, the old Andrew Gaze Grey Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. I don't remember how to say that. And a huge set of game previews for tomorrow, because we've got 13 games tomorrow. So we've got a fantasy outlook and a pick and preview for each of them. That'll be unreal. We're off to a flying start with the picks and previews, so you'll enjoy that. And we'll close out with a brand new Jingles HR, as Jinglin' Joe Ingles answers a question about Christmas parties. Awesome. All right, let's get into it. We're back. NBA Stray Episode 518. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. If you're Charles Barkley or Chris Webber, Shaq went after him today. That was great. But it's nice to have the big fella and all the TNT crew back on the telly, isn't it? I've missed him. That was great to have Barkley, Kenny, Ernie, and Shaq. Shaq all up in his fantastic Santa suit. That was awesome. Anyway, let's get stuck right in. We've got a lot of news to smash through before we even get to the game wrap. So let's start that the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily flip around the Bucks. That's right, the Milwaukee Bucks. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. They got fined a 2022 second round pick for the Bogdan Bogdanovich fuck up. There's no other way to really put it. We tried to sign and trade him, but it was illegal, and then we got busted, and it was a big fuck-up. Yep, that's how it went. The NBA found that early discussions did occur, constituting conduct detrimental to the league. No shit. Anytime you get a sign-and-trade dude before it's a sign-and-trade open period, I feel like you might have had discussions with the player illegally. So no shit. In the release from the NBA, they said the penalty took into account the Bucks' cooperation with the investigation, the absence of evidence of any impermissible early agreement on the terms of a contract between the Bucks and Bogdanovich, and the fact that the team ultimately did not sign Bogdan. So they obviously would have been fined more had they tried to keep making it work, and also that they hadn't actually agreed to terms of the contract, but still, they'd done some screwing around. So good job there. As Isaiah Thomas, though, the little guy, pointed out on Twitter, awesome. There goes pick 60 in 2022. the other big news, though, Hall of Fame, Lauren Jackson, the Aussie, the two-time WNBA champ, three-time MVP, three-time scoring champ, finals MVP, all-round legend. is up for the Hall of Fame. I think The Age said that she was the first Australian. I think Lindsay Gaze is actually already in there, so don't know what's going on there. But first-time nominee up for the Hall of Fame, joined by Paul Pierce, Doug Collins, Michael Cooper. Nice. Howard Garfinkel, Lou Henson, Val Ackerman, and Yolanda Griffith, which is pretty cool. There's other people still waiting to get in there. Chauncey Billups.
Billups.
Chris Bosh, Rip Hamilton, Becky Hammon, Swing Cash, and Ben Wallace. We'll see what happens there. But the other big thing was really that Adam Silver brought up, was asked about, and didn't immediately knock back the idea of expansion. Woo! Let's get my Sonics back, baby! Anytime Adam Silver actually says anything about expansion that isn't, yeah, we're not thinking about it. He actually said, they're thinking about it. Look, we've brought it up. We've talked it out. It's not at the very forefront of what we're trying to do right now, but we have brought it up. And it's like, yeah, no shit. You've made no money for two seasons. How do you make some money? You sell two fucking spots into your league at $1 billion a pop each, at least. We get a team back in Seattle. We get a team in Vegas, and away we go. Easy as you like. There you go. I fixed the NBA. Speaking of money, now this one sort of started popping off on Monday, and then we sort of talked about it quickly in that show. But look, OG Anunoby got a 4-year, $72 million contract because this is the extension bonanza where everybody out there just getting paid. Johnny Isaac, 4 years, $80 million. He's not going to play this season. He got a 4-year, $80 million extension. Markel Fultz got 3 years, $50 million. The Duckman, Luke Kennard, got 4 years, $64 million from the Clips, 56 of it, which is guaranteed. Derek White, got 4 years, $73 million. Patty Mills has got to be spewing. Patty Mills is going to be sitting there going, 4 years, 73? You fucking kidding me, mate? Anyway, but blokes who didn't get the agreed rookie extension, Lonzo Ball, Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, John Collins, that's a total cocktail. Go the fro, Jared Allen. Look, I did see some stuff popping off. It's like, that means they'll be under restricted free agents. No, it doesn't. It means they'll be restricted free agents. And whoever wants to pay them will be rolling the dice because their teams can then match. But either way. And Josh Richardson is now unrestricted for next year too, which is a pretty interesting look for the Mavs. But here we go. In other news, before today's game, Clippers-Lakers, Kawhi sucks. He got asked in some sort of media availability about his free agency. He's like, man, I'm just focused on this season. If I stay healthy, the best decision is to decline the player option, but it doesn't mean I'm staying or leaving. Here we fucking go. This fucking guy. The least interesting fucking person on the planet. He's like, oh, maybe I'll stay, maybe I'll go. They just like mortgage their future to get you. They've got Paul George on a fucking $250 million contract, and you're like, maybe I'll stay, maybe I'll go. Fuck you, Kawhi. Other news, Malik Beasley entered a guilty plea for threats of violence. Ugh. This was like such a bullshit trumped up crock of crap. It's like, oh, you threatened someone with a gun. Oh, have you got proof? Not really. And his felony drug charges were then dismissed because he pled guilty to this fucking shit. God, I hate the fucking penal and justice system in America. But there you go. At least he's all good. Rui Hachimura. He's out for 3 weeks. He's got an injury in his bilateral epidemic keratona conjunctivitis. I don't know what the fuck that is. I'm not going to pretend I know. Kevin Love out for the Cavs game tomorrow with a calf strain. That sucks. Could we just get 1 year where Kevin Love goes, ah, that's right, I'm Kevin Love. I'm good at basketball. Yeah. In this week in James Harden sucks. Threw a ball forcefully at our man, Jashaun Tate. Former Sydney King. What a cock. He also had multiple verbal confrontations with teammates in practice, apparently. At this point, I'm really hoping that James Harden gets a red alert call and he gets woken up by a fucking bunch of his teammates whacking him with fucking pillowcases full of soap. Fuck you, you bearded motherfucker. Bang, bang. Like, because fuck him. I hope they call him out for being a fucking sook and a prick. Call him on his bullshit. If you're his teammate, you should be pissed. Oh, I don't really want to play for this franchise anymore. Can I go play for Brooklyn? Motherfucker, you got a contract for another 2 years. What are you doing? Shut up. We traded for John Wall. We've got Boogie. Just fucking play. Anyway, so on top of the Celtics and Raptors rumors that are floating out there for Harden, there was reports, I use that loosely, that the Rockets were like, hey man, I think we can trade him for Jamal Murray. And everyone with fucking half a brain's like, yeah, I don't really see Denver doing that. Maybe for a fucking unvaccinated dipshit. you can we will trade for old mate Harden, but otherwise, a fucking unvaccinated space cadet, conspiracy theorist, that'd be fun. Here, you'd take that. John Wall and Boogie Cousins, that'd go great. Michael Porter Jr., speaking of red alerts, he'd get fucking his ass kicked, I reckon, there in Houston. This week in shitting on the Clippers, it was kind of fun because the Lakers were like, hey, we're not going to unveil our banner without the fans there. We'll just do our ring ceremony in front of the Clippers, which is awesome. But of course, there was a black banner that sort of got unveiled across the top of the championship one saying, stay tuned, Lakers family, which is kind of neat. And then Adam Silver's like, hey, man, we'll have another ring ceremony for when we can have fans in here. It's like, all right, 2033 then. Good job, America. All right, let's do it. Our first. Oh, I can't believe we had games today. I love this. Let's do it. Game wraps.
Game wraps, 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 game wraps.
The NBA season has kicked off. Were you excited? I was just like a fucking kid in a candy store this morning. Sitting there waiting for Warriors Nets to tip off, and then the Nets came out. You're like, oh yeah, KD, Kyrie, KD against his old team, Golden State. And then the Nets shit pumped the Warriors. And it was hilarious. You're like, ah, shit. Are the Nets the best team ever? Or are the Warriors actually just like a garbage fire and like, shit, I don't know. Either way, first game of the season, nothing to really take away beyond the fact that the Nets look really good. And the Warriors might have a bit of a slog. But the Nets kicked this one off on fire, didn't they? Made it look easy. Sloppy at times in the first half, I think. It was like 13 and 9 turnovers for each team. But the Nets in the second half just really put the foot down and looked like a juggernaut. They came out of the third quarter and really just put them to the sword. Like, I think Golden State started 1 of 9 in the third quarter. And the Nets were like, ah, we're good. We'll just keep hitting shots. Oh, if KD and Kyrie are sitting, well, it's okay. We've got Spencer Dinwiddie. We've got Joe Harris. We've got sweet baby Carrots LeVert. Away we go. They led by as many as 38 in this game. 38. Jesus, they're up 28 going into the fourth quarter. Win by 26 in the end. Not much to say about the Warriors. Look, Steph was fine. What did he do? Like, had 20 points on 21 shots. And it's the kind of thing where you go, oh, well, there's no Clay. There's no Draymond today as well. So you've got Wigo and Oubre out there with you, and it feels like a pretty normal Steph stat line, right? Like, the efficiency is going to go down without Clay, without Draymond, and that's exactly what happened. 20 points, 10 assists, 3 turnovers. He was a minus 23, but I think every Warrior was going to be a minus kajillion. Shot 2 of 10 from downtown, though. Hopefully we get Steph back soon. Wigo and Oubre were fucking horrible. We'll talk about them later. Wiseman. James, not a wise man, but he was a pretty wise man today. He's barely played in college. Dude had no summer league. He had no preseason. It's his first game. And he was awesome, which is pretty great because, of course, there was so much garbage time in this goddamn game that it was basically like a summer league game anyway, wasn't it? He shot 7 of 13. Ends up with a pretty wild 19 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists. Sorry, 2 steals and a turnover. But that was awesome. He's got great hair. I like the look of him. The Warriors shot 36% from 3, and yeah, that won't do it. Was it 10 of 33 from downtown? 36% overall, 10 of 33 from downtown, 18 turnovers, just gross. Whereas the Nets, they shot 45%. They were good. Kyrie had 26 on 16 shots, pretty good, pretty nice. And it's just like one of those nice reminders, like, oh yeah, Kyrie's really fucking good offensively. But the big thing for the Nets was that they were moving the ball really nicely, really crisply. They were looking for the extra man. They were like moving it to the open dude, regardless of whether it was Kyrie or KD, which was really cool. KD ends up with 22, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Defensively looked really handy, which he did not expect after the Achilles. And looked explosive again. I mentioned this after the preseason game. And yeah, looks okay. What do you reckon? Do we get 90% of KD this year? That'd be fucking wild, wouldn't it? My sweet baby, Carrots LeVert, filled in the gaps. He had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. What a gun. I fucking love him. And Spencer Dinwiddie, look, didn't really do great offensively. 9 points, but it was just steady. Same with Joe Harris, 10 points for him, 2 of 5 from downtown. He had 7 rebounds as well. But just the simple fact that the Nets are super deep. Like, Shamwell got out there for 20 minutes. Prince was out there for only 6. El Jefe Green scored 7 points. Tyler Johnson still on this team, don't forget. Jarrett Go the Fro Allen at 8 and 7 with a couple of blocks. And because this was garbage time, the Nets became the first team in NBA history to play 15 players in a game because of the expanded rosters. So that was cool. They got everybody a run. And I really, 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 really like this team now. Like KD and Kyrie, they can bring the offensive fireworks. They've got Karis and Spencel, you know, filling in the gaps. They've got Torin the Red Bull Prince. They've got an awesome set, well, a handy center rotation of DJ and Go the Throw Allen. Joe Harris is going to eat. And they ran too. They were a little bit quicker than you thought. They took more threes than they used to. Steve Nash gets his win, his first NBA win as a coach in his first game. Got to take that. So our DFS picks for yesterday, we had Curry. Look, that wasn't too bad. Joe Harris didn't quite hit as much as he wanted. And Oubre was a tough one because he was horrible. So, but our pick for yesterday, Monday's show, I guess, was the Nets would win. Against the spread, though, we had the Warriors plus 7, so that's a loss. But the Warriors now kick off the season 0-1, Nets 1-0. And then the second game today, the Clippers-Lakers. Clippers won it 116-109, an absolute rip-snorter of a game by the Clippers. Because wow! Were they good early? That was so good they blew a 20-point lead in the first game of this season. It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. Up 21 in the second quarter, and unlike last season's Clippers, who did all the blowing of their leads in the third quarter up 20. They blew this one mostly in the second. It was a one-point game at one point. And 15 to 34-point turnaround going into the half. It was 56-54, a two-point lead out of nowhere. And the Lakers just, look, they kept on coming. Their new dude, Dennis Schroeder, I am German Rondo. And Trez Harrell were massive in the third quarter. LeBron started hitting some threes. But the Clippers just sort of kept their head. They just kept their noses in front, didn't they? They were up 1 point like three or four different times. And the Lakers kept at it. They had a chance to tie it. Schroeder had two free throws. They're down two. He misses the first one. And so the Clippers stay up one. I think it's about 2 minutes left in the third quarter. And then Paul George just decided to like turn into playoff P. He outscored the Lakers 10-2 in the last 2 minutes of that quarter. I think Kennard also, you know, scored a bucket in there too. So they took a pretty handy lead in the third, going into the fourth, and never let the Lakers really get all the way back into it. They had just enough and just outlasted them. Now, it was a handy that the Lakers were like down 15 with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. And went, yep, look, we're not going to put AD and LeBron in the first game of the season and risk one of them getting injured when we're down this much anyway. We could maybe fight back. And it just didn't happen because Paul George just turned into the fucking human torch. Oh, Johnny Storm there in the middle of this quarter. He hit a three that put them back up 12, I think about 6 minutes left. And hit a, like, you know, I think that was the four-point play with about 6 minutes left to basically put them up 13. You're like, here we go. Kawhi hit a shot over the top of the Caruso. And, yeah, it was all she wrote, really. I think they pulled AD a couple of minutes after that and boom. Off you go. So not much you could really do if you're a Laker fan down the stretch, but I think they're just kind of like giving themselves a bit of a look at what they've got, which makes sense. You don't have to wear out LeBron and AD in the first game of a 72-game season that's going to be probably compressed. So LeBron ends up with 22-5-5 with 4 turnovers, shoots only 7 of 17, and AD goes 18-7-2, goes 0 of 2 from downtown for AD. Not a sterling star for AD, but at the same time, as you'd expect, Montrez. How about the new guys in the Lakers? Montrez, 17-10, looked good. Exactly what you expect against his old team. It was good to see him and Pat Bev talking shit to each other on opposite sides of the fucking floor. That was fun. German Rondo almost had a triple-double. He had 14 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, and missed, you know, 10 shots. He went 5 of 15, so it's kind of there. Marc Gasol, though, 12 minutes, 0 of 1. Wes Matthews, the new Danny Green, question mark, 0 of 2 in 11 minutes. Both of those shots were from 3. And Taylor Horton Tucker had 6 points, shot 2 of 2 in his 10 minutes, and looked the goods when he was actually out there. Like, really helped him in the second quarter, but yeah, the Lakers didn't go back to him. The Clippers, I mean, I mentioned Paul George. He was amazing. 33 points. Talk about him again later. 13 of 18 shooting. Unbelievable. 5 of 8 from downtown. Kawhi. 26 points on 26 shots. Goes 10 of 26. 1 of 8 from deep. That was the problem. And this goes back to last year.
Well, in the bubble. It's not last year. It's last season. I've got to fucking wrap my head around that. The long ball for Kawhi has been off for a little while, and it does worry you a little bit, doesn't it? Like with his legs, and if it's just not there, his mid-range game is still impeccable. Like the basically the game sealer that he hit over the top of the Caruso. I mean, yeah, he's like putting the Caruso in the fucking spin cycle, but hits just the fadeaway jumper and away you go. You're like, oh, he's still fine there. But a couple of feet further out, it's just, ugh, doesn't look good. Anyway, he did only have as well like 2 assists, 2 rebounds, a couple of steals and 3 turnovers as well as 5 fouls. So Kawhi, look, again, similar to LeBron at AD, you're not going to stress. It's the first game of a compressed season. You're not going to go fucking hammer and tongs. You got the win. And if the shot, look, the shot will come, so it'll be fine. Serge Ibaka. Speaking of new arrivals, 15-6 for big Serge Ibaka. And the Duckman, $64 million, 2 of 6 shooting. You love to see it. 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. That's what $64 million buys you if you're Steve Ballmer. Zubes, look good off the bench. 11-6 for the big Avicii Zubac. Pat Bev had 10-6-3. A nice little reminder as well. Like Pat Bev hit a 3 late. And you're like, oh, yeah, he was injured in the... Well, he was always a bit off and a bit injured in the bubble. If you had a fully healthy, ready-to-go Pat Bev, maybe you got a bit of a different answer in that bubble, but who knows. Lou Will also rocked up. But good fun times for the Clippers. Our DFS picks on Monday show. Obviously, Anthony Davis, look, he wasn't too bad. 17-10, still gets away with it. Mook Morris didn't end up playing. And Luke Kennard, the Duckman, that was a big L, so... Rough that one. But we picked the Clippers and we picked them +2.5. So big wins across there. So we went 3 or 4 in our picks today. Right. Welcome back. We get the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Look, Paul George, obviously unreal in this game. But also it felt like a bit of a kind of moment where the Lakers are like, ah, it's fine. Whatever. We'll pack her up, boys. Paul George got going. The Lakers, it just felt very summer leaguey and pre-season-y, didn't it? And I reckon it probably will, probably for the first month for the Lakers. They'll be so good it probably won't matter a lot of the time and they'll win a lot of games. But you won't see them really rounding into form for a little while. So I'm going to give this one to KD and Kyrie because this was just fucking A, it was nice to see, and B, it was also kind of terrifying. KD and Kyrie out there, both healthy. KD playing again, you're just like, this is fucking noise. Kyrie playing a really nice brand of team basketball, which, to be honest, we just don't expect from him that much anymore. But the way they played off each other was amazing. Like, it was really, really, really good. So I enjoyed the KD and Kyrie show. And it does put you in mind that the offensive fireworks there in Brooklyn could be pretty impressive for the Eastern Conference. So Kyrie, as mentioned, 26-4-4. KD, 22-5-3 with 3 steals and a block. Kyrie goes 10-16, KD goes 7-16. It's pretty good. It's a hell of a duo. And this is one of those duos when we rank the duos at the in the preseason. It's like, if healthy, this could be the third best duo, if not higher. And I think we had them at about 6 or 7. So if they are healthy, if they keep this up, fucking fun as. Spud of the night, however.
Spud of the night.
It's back. I've missed that. Kelly Oubre Jr. So Oubre had an amazing dunk really early on where he nearly Oubre-ed the rim. But Wigo just looked fucking lost out there. They combined for 7 of 30. God, what? 2 of 12 from 3. Blah, gross. Those are Paul George in the playoff numbers. geez. Oubre and Wiggins. We're sitting there going, oh, Golden State will be fine. They'll get like 85% of what Clay can do kind of maybe from Oubre and Wiggins, won't they? No. At least not in the first game. Jesus. Look, thing is, again, with Golden State, there's nothing you can really judge them on. Because Wiseman, it's literally Wiseman's first proper game action, who fucking knows how long, since he's like game for Memphis, like what, over 12 months ago? And Oubre, Wiggins basically kind of was cooking last year without Steph, doing nothing, like with half a team that had basically played NBA basketball before. Oubre comes into the team as well. There's no Draymond. Steph hasn't played since fucking March. So, look, I'll give him a pass, but not by much. And Paul George, speaking of spuds, he was, before he got going, he had a great one where he passed the ball to no one. So, good job, Paul. Everyone enjoyed that. What about Pam? What is it? Old Mate No Mates, though, comes up next, doesn't it?
Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got no mates today? How about Marv, Chris Webber, and the TNT broadcast? Because, wow, just imagine paying that much money for the rights to the NBA, having your lead first game of the entire restarted season. Marv and Chris Webber remotely stepping on each other, saying dumb shit, and getting fucking laughed at on the internet literally all night. Like, it didn't get any better. Marv was in mid-season form of fucking up names, getting players wrong, and just being outright wrong all the fucking time. Like, there was a moment where he's like, oh, and that's Golden State's first three of the game. And it's like, that's their third, Marv. What the fuck have you been watching? I think multiple people made the comparison of, like, it felt like 2K announcers basically being piped in over the top of a real game. And it fucking sucked. And Chris Webber, look, speaking of mid-season form, how about mid-season form for just rattling off absolute fucking bullshit? What a fucking lunatic. There's a guy who literally sits there, starts talking, and has zero clue where the fuck his sentence is going to finish. Now, for all the young kids out there, something Christmas, I want Charles and Shaq to fight. What is going on in your brain, Chris Webber? Pantsing of the night. Warriors. So much positivity going into this one, and then boom, pantsed. And also the Lakers. I mean, you get your ring ceremony, you get to rub it in the Clippers' faces a little bit. And it was the classic ring ceremony hangover game, wasn't it? They're all so emotional, and this was fucking great. So I really, really, really loved the ring ceremony. I loved how they all had their own little podiums, and every single player on the roster, and including Phil Handy, like assistant coaches, and everybody in the front office and all that sort of stuff, got introed by their family or friends or whatever, and it was fucking awesome. It was really emotional. And you see them going, they're going to lose this game because they've just sat there, watched amazing heartfelt messages from like their entire fucking like network, their friends, from literally everybody they know. And now they're going to go in there and play a fucking NBA game. Ugh, tough scenes, but there you go. So they got pantsed by the Clippers. It was basically pretty inevitable though. That's why I picked them. There you go. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today though?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Jeez, I can't wait for LaMelo. James Wiseman, this is an easy one. A fellow number two pick in his debut. I mean, what a game. 19 points, 6 rebounds, 1-1 from downtown. 7-13 from the floor as well. So, look. I don't think Lonzo's ever going to hit these lofty heights of above 50% from the floor ever again, let alone 100% from three. So 19 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals and a turnover. James Wiseman, better than Lonzo Ball. Love it. All right, there you go. Let's take a quick break and come back with some yeah-nahs right after. Oh, we could also throw in a quick dickhead of the week. What do you reckon? Do you want to do a really, really, really quick one right now?
Dickhead of the week.
It's more like dickhead of the night. Kevin Durant, after the game, it's like, you know, he's doing the TNT interview. It's like, Kevin, we know that you're,
oh, I hate the media, man. Media's bad. It's just the media.
Fuck you, you knob. You just played your fucking first game back in forever. You busted your Achilles. You're playing against your old fucking team. The least you could do is go, you know what, fellas? It was kind of fun to just be out there playing and enjoying myself and playing against these other guys. It was cool. You don't have to be a guarded cockhead the entire time, you know? Just fucking loosen up, Kevin. Fuck, he's like one-word answers to the fucking TNT dudes. Charles, Kenny, and fucking Shaq are just like, hey, man, so that was fun. He's like, yeah, I guess. Like, fuck you, Kevin. No wonder the fucking NBA is like, ah, shit, what's going on with our fucking ratings? When you got one of the absolute super duper stars showing all the fucking like engagement and charisma of a fucking wet towel. Go fuck yourself, Kevin. It's nice to have you back, but fucking get excited. We're excited for you. How about you reciprocate just a little bit? Anyway, yeah, Nas, right after this.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah nahs. As always, the NBA Australia yeah nahs are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, look, you only got two more days before Christmas, so you better get your order in tomorrow or else you're fucked. But also, if you got your New Year's parties planned, you're going on holiday, you better stock up now on some really... Look, don't pay like holiday beers prices. Get them for cheap at thedailyliquor.com. Their booze specials are absolutely unreal. On the beer, on the wine, on the cocktails, they're all amazing. You've got the Dos Blocos, you've got the Dos Blocos Pale, you've got the Lickpear Ginger Beer. I've got a slab of the Sample 3/4 IPA that is going to be demolished. Chrissy Eve, I'll tell you what. You know me, the brother-in-law, dad. That'd be fun. But also, so look, the wines are awesome. Old mate, she loves those. Over there on NFL Australia, Gaz has gotten stuck in the cocktails. He loves that. So... even if you're not in the bureaus, they've got plenty of options. They've got plenty of fun packs as well. They basically do a mix and match. So go check out thedailyliquor.com. And if you enter the code STRAYA when you check out, if you've spent $20, which is nothing, you know, that's basically one of the sixes, you get a free sixer. How good is that? Of Dos X, which is my favorite, the Red Devils. You can pound them till the cows come home. It's the perfect summer beer. So there you go. Dos X, Metro Melbourne area. Go to thedailyliquor.com. Get your orders in before noon. You'll get same-day delivery. Probably not on Christmas, just saying. But anyway, so go smash that right now. Smash the code Stray. Get a sixer while you're watching the Sixers tomorrow. Love that. Or some cocktails, bottle of wine, whatever. And get a free six-pack on your mate, Jimmy. All right. Susan Yenars, number one. Ironically, Jimmy, Will Karras playing with KD and Kyrie give him a bigger platform and show people just how fucking good he is? Which will then play his way into a Harden trade. Yeah, nah. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. Sweet Baby is such a... Look, what kills me is people going, oh, James Harden next to KD and Kyrie. Just imagine it. Yeah, I can imagine it and it would fucking suck. Because Karras is the exact right bloke that you need next to those dudes. A plug the gaps, do everything, ball handling, defense, spot up shooting, three-point canning wing. Harden... the last time he saw defense was from a stripper who's like, I don't know fucking who this guy is. Like, after he maybe, I don't know, tried to slip something. Anyway, but look, Karras is perfect for this team. We'll talk about it in a second. Whereas Harden, how much further do you reckon you can go with him? Anyway, speaking of which, Boogie was thanked in the Lakers intro to their ring ceremony. Should he get a ring? Yeah, nah. Well, look, he was on the roster there for a bunch. He obviously would have helped behind the scenes. And I think I'm kind of on board. If you're on the roster and he didn't end up playing for basically, you know, a competitor, you should probably get maybe half a ring. Yeah. But at the same time, like, you didn't help them win the title on the court. So, I don't know. Bit of a weird one. But yeah, I don't think Boogie'd be like, oh, yeah, that's the ring that I deserve. That's the ring that I earned, you know? Tough scene. Hey, speaking of that ring ceremony, do you reckon Mook Morris was psyched because he knows he's getting that Keith ring because they both played? Yeah, nah, yeah. Speaking of half a ring, that ring is going to get halved because Keith and Mook just switched and swapped. Switched and swapped? Yeah, nailed it. All the way through the bubble. Like, and there's no way they could have policed that, right? Like, they could have come around to, like, you know, check out Mook after the Clippers got knocked out of the playoffs. And he's like, gone. It's like ghosted. So, oh, I'm just hanging out in Keith's room. And every time someone came to check on Keith, it's like, yeah, hey, I'm Mark Keith. So that's Marcus. The other one's hiding in the bathroom. Parent trap. Love it. Did that win over the Lakers mean anything for the Clippers, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, nah. And it's not. Nothing the Clippers do until they get on a massive roll and win fucking a shit ton of games straight. And then roll into the playoffs and start kicking ass, taking names, and make a conference finals. Nothing will fucking matter for the Clippers until that happens. Nothing will matter for Paul George. Nothing matter for Kawhi, for that matter either. So that's what the stakes are for the Clippers. It's conference finals. Get there. Then we're fucking talking. Win your way through the semis. Then we'll get interested, you know? Lastly, should there be any other team ahead of Seattle for an expansion? This one's an obvious one. Yeah, nah, fuck nah. People are like, hey, Vancouver would be fun. Nah, man. Vegas have already got the arena. They already love basketball. They're hosting the Summer League. But Seattle with the revamped Key Arena, with everybody losing their minds about Gary the Glove Payton and the Rain Man, Sean Kemp, my favorite player of all time, my beloved Seattle Supersonics will be at number one of that list. Hey, they've got one of the biggest markets in the... Well, they've got the biggest market, I think, in the US without an NBA team, at least within their complete specific local market. And I believe, in terms of like, I believe richest demographics, I think they're completely number one of teams, of places that basically don't have an NBA team. So it's fucking ridiculous. They moved a team to fucking Oklahoma City in the middle of bumfuck nowhere from the city that hosts fucking Microsoft, Boeing, Amazon, literally every other Starbucks, just huge fucking monolithic conglomerates. There's an absolute fuck ton of money in Seattle. And they're like, nah, we're moving to Oklahoma City. Smash cut fucking 10 years later. The owner's broke. Another owner's fucking killed himself. And away we go. Go fuck yourselves. Okay, see? Unpopular opinion of the day. What, that wasn't unpopular?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I wouldn't fucking trade Karras and Jarrett Go the Fro Allen for James Harden. I just wouldn't. No chance. And all the picks and shit, it's not Sean Marks' way. And I'm going to say this and then he'll fucking do it. But anyway, I think you saw it in the first game. Deep means success. And the top level talent of someone like Kyrie and KD in the playoffs will be fucking hard to beat. And if you've got dudes like Karras and Allen, so Sweet Baby Carrots LeVert, Go the Fro Allen, whatever other dudes you'd have to throw in to make it work, you can see them working as a much better, deeper version of a team that can actually win its way through a couple of playoff series, right? Rather than fucking Harden, no defense, Kyrie, no defense, and KD, a little bit of defense. So I'll keep Karras, Spencer, and Go the Fro Allen. Thanks. Just saying. Outback Takehouse for today, however. It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means. Oh, yes. West Sydney Razorback Ribs, cooked by West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker. He's out there flaming them up right now. Today's flame grilled take is the bloody Brooklyn Nets are going undefeated only at Outback. It was great. Look, it's the first game of the season, but how good they were in the first quarter. It's like, Jesus. When are they going to lose? Will they ever lose? Touch wood. It's hilarious. Having had Brooklyn Nets season tickets for so fucking long and only getting rid of them, what, 2 years ago, I am just spewing that I didn't fucking eat all the money over the last couple of years and try selling them off to keep them. And would have been fine now, but well, it was just nice to see, like, to be honest, to go back to the earlier point, just nice to see KD and Kyrie back at it because, and same with Steph, right? Like, injuries just fucking suck. I just want everybody to be healthy going the whole hog all the fucking time. That's all I want. I just want the best basketball possible. I want as much basketball and the best possible basketball as much as possible. All right, let's take a quick break and be back with Australian Player Watch right after. Whoa, watch out. This one. Whoa, it's a fun one today. I tell you what, Jesus.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, what do NBA All-Star Chris Paul, NASA guy Scott Kelly, Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian all have in common? Mate, they all have incredible experiences to teach you about, and that's what they've done. They've created audio courses to teach you what they've learned. They're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized little audio courses. It's awesome. They're short like a little podcast. They like are smart like an audio book. And 100% ad-free. Basically, I like to think of it as Spotify for learning stuff in your brain head. and I love it because I'm an idiot. So this is great. I really, really love these. So check it out. The bloke from NASA, Scott Kelly, Commander Scott Kelly, is out there teaching lessons about, get this, space, which is awesome. Chris Paul, old erstwhile NBA All-Star Chris Paul, the point guard, discusses, he talks about the plant-based lifestyle and training and stuff, which is awesome. And Alexis Ohanian, the Reddit co-founder, talks about how to launch a startup, which is sick as. So there's over 100 other experts doing crazy stuff and teaching you something new. So if you're keen to learn something today, like I am, just love learning. My brain, it pushes stuff out though. That's what I find. I like learning stuff and then it pushes out, you know, everything from age 14 through 18, but that's got nothing to do with the boost. Anyway, download the Knowable app or visit knowable.fyi. That's knowable.fyi and use the code STRAYA and you'll get 20% off their audio courses. They're sick. I love them. Now you can give them a shot. Go to knowable.fyi or download the Knowable app. Use the code STRAYA. You get 20% off. Thank you, mate Jimmy, when you're a bit smarter later. All right, Australian player watch, let's do it. We've got 10 Aussies. We had none of them going today. But we've got a bunch of them tomorrow. Unfortunately, Dele and Sexum won't play for the Cavs tomorrow, but Kung Fu Thon might get out there with no Kevin Love. We might actually get to see Kung Fu Thon, which would be pretty good. I'd be excited by that. They're playing Charlotte. They're hosting Charlotte, so maybe he gets out there. But the big one, obviously, is Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Matty T. They're hosting Washington Jingles. Mr. Jingles goes to Portland to take on PDX Pete's beloved Blazers. Patty Thrills is taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Aaron Bangers Baines makes his debut for the Tampa Baines Raptors. There you go, hosting the Pelicans down there in Florida. Will Magnay probably won't be playing in that game. But that's the same game. Obviously, they're in Tampa Bay. He's on his two-way. We'll see what happens. If Will gets actually with the team, I would not expect him to play anytime soon because he's not, you know, gotten there and practiced yet. But the big one as well is going to be Greeny making his debut. Josh Greeny Green going to Phoenix to take on Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and the Phoenix Suns. So that'll be really, really, really fun. Can't wait. Unbelievable. So there's a bit of a look ahead for the Australian Player Watch. So the Australian Player Watch this year, we are going to try to keep it as, you know, quick as we can and talk about some of what the Aussies are up to. We'll just, you know, wrap up every game that they do. That's what we always do. And we'll make sure we have some fun notes as well this year. That said, do you want to kick off the year with just a really quick Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award? Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba! Oh, yes. Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. I mean, this one today has to go to Playoff P, doesn't it? It's either that or James Harden for trying to fight all of his teammates. Oh, no, it doesn't go that. Gaze never tried to fight his teammates. Ask Leonard Copeland. I would if he came on the show. Anyway, no, Playoff P, a.k.a. Regular Season Game with No Stakes P, where I can crush it, was awesome today. Absolutely awesome. I only alluded to it earlier because I wanted to save it for this spot. Because goddamn, he was good. In the second half, he just went absolutely ballistic. He ends up shooting 13 of 18 from the floor, including 5 of 8 from downtown. Has the 4-point play that really starts to bury the absolute hatchet in the Lakers. Ends up with 33 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He did have 5 turnovers. It's the first game of the year. You're going to get a bit sloppy. It's how it goes. But he was a plus 17. So 33 points on 18 shots. Now that's Gazy as fuck. So good job, Playoff P, a.k.a. opening game of the season with absolutely no stakes at all, P, where I can crush it. Good job. That was very Andrew Gaze-esque. So you get the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence for today. That might be the last nice thing I say about Paul George for the season. The Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Now, this is going to be a fun one this year, isn't it? Because Patty is going to be out there shredding, and he tweeted today a picture of himself holding the ball, arms over the ball, looking over the ball, wearing the Spurs Fiesta jersey. It looks sick. And just said, foundation laid, preparation complete. It's go time for real, Paddy fucking Thrills. I would run through a wall for Paddy Thrills. And with more tweets like that, I might just fucking do it anyway. Just saying. Let's go! Paddy. All right. Beautiful stuff. And he is crushing it. I think he retweeted another one from the Spurs. This was me every night of the offseason, been waiting for this with the kid just awake, waiting. The Spurs tweeted out, us tonight when we can't sleep, think about Spurs basketball being back tomorrow. Hashtag go Spurs go. Yeah, that checks out. Paddy Mills feeling the exact same way. Right, let's do it. 13 games tomorrow. Let's bring in Inadvertent Bane.
Game previews.
Ah, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Jimmy, were you excited to have the games back today?
Ah, buddy, you better believe it. Even the squid, he was losing his mind. He's like, basketball. I'm like, yes, buddy. He sat there on the couch with me, watched a bunch of it. All right, so how did we go today? We went 3 of 4 today on our pick. So head-to-head, we nailed 2 of 2. We went 1 of 2 out against the spread. Figured Golden State would put up more of a fight, but they did not. So 3 of 4 so far for the year. So we'll try to keep track of the head-to-head and the spreads, but also the spread, I think, pick day-to-day will probably be the one that we'll focus on. So we'll see how we go. But let's do these game previews. What we'll also do this entire season is we're going to talk about some of the fantasy prospects for the players involved. We do have NBA Australia Fantasy Leagues out there as well. If you're in them, keep your ears peeled. And if you're into Daily Fantasy, we're going to be rolling in some Daily Fantasy picks as well. And we'll see how people are looking and what they're doing and who's going to be the big picks for tomorrow. So let's have a look at it, shall we? Charlotte at Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland.
Are you excited for this one? I know I am because, I mean, maybe we get Thon McCur. But obviously, LaMelo Ball. That's where the big stuff is at. So, the Daily Fantasy picks for this one are obviously, look, Daily Fantasy, if you're not paying attention on DraftKings, get around that. If you play the Classic, you get 50K to spend across your lineup, right? So you get an average of 6.25K across each spot. So 3 picks we're going to do each game. Andre Drummond for this one, he's at 8K. Without Kevin Love there, he's going to absolutely eat, I think, for the Cavs. Isaac Okoro, same thing. And Larry Nance. Isaac Okoro is only at 3.5K, and Larry Nance is at 5.9. With no Love, Larry Nance will smash it. Okoro, I think, is going to be one of the great rookies this season. I think Drummond's going to be really good. And I actually think Cleveland might come out and surprise everybody in this first game. Because this is what happens. Early on in the season, you get some weird ideas. So the Hornets, everyone's like, they're making a push for the playoffs. They got Gordon Hayward. He's going to play. Who knows how they're going to actually look and feel, though, with LaMelo out there, PJ Hamilton, Washington. I like the Cavs in this one. They're +2.5. I'm going to take that. And I think I'll go with Cleveland to win as well. So Cleveland +2.5. Good stuff there. What do you reckon? Over the Hornets in Cleveland. Should be fun. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City taking on the Indiana Pacers. Now, the Knicks have been kind of sneaky and fun so far this offseason. They get Obi Toppin. Ain't no stopping. Obi Toppin. But Indy were one of the best teams last season. The way they went out in the playoffs in the bubble, it sucked. Victor of the Deeper was horrible. But I think Indy will be pretty good this year. So I'm going to take Indy -8 in this game, and the DFS picks reflect that. I've got Miles Turner at 5.7K, and RJ Barrett, he's at 5.7 as well. I think RJ's going to have a great year, and Obi Toppin, he's at 3.7. So there you go. Get those three Indy daily fantasy lineups. They are going to crush it. Indy will win this. I'm taking Indy -7. Oh, it's -8. Huh. Does that make a difference? No. Miami, Orlando. Easy 3 DFS picks for this one. Bam! Adebayo at 7.3K. That's an easy one. He's in my lineup at the end. You'll hear that. Don't Google me. Fournier, 5.8K. And Cole Anthony, only 3.2K. I reckon you'll score up a storm in this one. Will Cole Anthony, the rookie. I am taking Miami to win this one, though. It's in Orlando. They are 4.5-point underdogs, but I'm taking Miami there to win. I think they come out. They look at the Lakers, crapping the bed in there. You know, basic sort of first game back. Even though they've had less rest than anybody, Miami will be more conditioned than anybody else. So give me Miami -4.5 over the disappointing Orlando Magics. I think Butts, Bam, Goran the Flog Dragic could be just too much. Yep. Wizards visiting Philly. The DFS picks for this one. A couple of rip snorters. Simo, 8.7K. Rusty, 9.3K. And then sneakily, Dwight, 3.2K. Just so. So if you've got those in your lineups, expect a lot. The winner for this will be Philly. I think they'll come out and crush them. I think we'll get a lot of Embiid action in this. And I think we'll get a big dose. Actually, so Washington actually play them pretty closely. So I think I'll take Washington on +7.5. I think Philly win it though. But it's a close game. But Philly at home, remember, they're unbeatable. But Philly, look, they'll win. I don't think they'll cover. Washington, can't wait to see this Westbrook and Beal kind of vibe. Let's go. Let's go. It's going to be fun. Milwaukee at Boston. The Bucks are 3.5-point favorites against the Celtics. The DFS picks for this, Giannis, 10.2K. He's going to go absolutely off. He's going to have an absolutely unreal year. Don't forget about that. Don't worry about it. He just won't win the MVP. Tristan Thompson's 4.7K and El Jefe Teague's 4K. A couple of sneaky good DFS picks there too. For the winner, I'm taking Milwaukee. And for the line, I think I'll take Milwaukee -3.5 as well. I think there's just going to be a little bit of something off in Boston to start the season. They'll right the ship, but I think it might be a bit wonky to start off with. New Orleans versus the Tampa Bay Raptors. Baines Raptors. The Raps are 4.5-point favorites. You know what? I'm going to take the Pels +4.5 because I think this is going to be a fun one and I think the Raptors will win. I think it's going to be a really close game. Pels cover, lose by 3. Raptors there in Toronto get a win at home. The DFS picks for this, Zion at 7.5, Lonzo 6.5, and Chris Bobby Boucher, I reckon he's going to have a great year too. 4.6K, get them in your lineups. Atlanta, Chicago. Chicago Bulls. +1.5 in Chicago at home. I think Atlanta are ready to win this game. I don't think they started off hot last year, so I'm taking Atlanta -1.5. I think they win this as well. Just don't know how long they're going to be able to sustain it. You just never know with Atlanta. The DFS picks for this, Trae Young, 9.4K. Kobe White. Kobe! Love me some Kobe, 6.5K. Pat Williams, the new rookie. Very cheap, 3K. Get him in there while you can. Atlanta will win this, 1.5. I'm taking that too. Spurs, Grizzlies. DFS picks for this. Ja Morant, I reckon, is going to have one of the great fantasy years this year. I'm all over him across the NBA Australia Leagues. 8.4K. DeJounte Murray, same thing. 5.6K, I reckon he's going to crack it. And Patty Mills, how hyped he is. 3.4K is cheap as chips, mate. Now, the Spurs are 2.5-point favorites, underdogs, rather, in Memphis. I reckon the Spurs might just come out and win this. I think Memphis are going to be that post-hype disappointing team a little bit this year, but they will be so good because Ja Morant's awesome. Unfortunately, missing Jaren Jackson Jr., they won't have the top-notch quality to get right over the top of even teams like the Spurs, at least for the start of the year. So give me the Spurs +2.5, and I think the Spurs win this one as well. With DeMar, with LaMarcus, with all their vets, they'll be all right. And with some of their young dudes. Detroit, Minnesota. What do you reckon about this? 3 DFS picks. Cat, 9.7K. Blake, 7.2. And Malik Beasley, 5.1. And the sneaky extra one, Killian Hayes, only 3.9. Pistons are 4.5-point underdogs in Minnesota. I think Minnesota are my tip to be a bit shit this year. I think they win this first one, but we all sort of look at each other and go, are they any actual good? Whereas Detroit will actually be like the worst team in the NBA. Look, now that I say that, I'm like talking myself out of it. Look, Detroit, they'll be a bit over the shop. So give me Minnesota in this first game at least. They'll win and I've got them to cover -4.5. Sacramento, Denver. Where's Sacramento, Denver? There we go. We've got Sacramento 8.5-point underdogs against the Nuggets. I'm taking Sacramento +8.5 in the line. But I am taking the Nuggets to win because I think the Nuggets are a better team. I think Sacramento will play teams hard this year, but they'll lose a lot of games still. The Joker, 9.6K for your DFS. De'Aaron Fox, 7.8. I've got De'Aaron in my lineup as well as Marvy Bagges at 4.9K. Huge, huge fantasy performers this year. Trust me. Oh, yeah, that'll be great. What else we got? I feel like we've missed one in there. OKC Houston, there we go. OKC Houston. Now, I feel like they scheduled this going, aha, Rusty. Guess his old team. Now, Rusty's on Washington. Sucked in. So, Shai Gilgeous Alexander will be leading the charge against the Rockets, 7.5K for DFS. Christian Wood, 6.3. That's cheap as chips. Georgie Hill, same as well. 3.6K. Get around that one. For the winner, I'm going to take Houston to win this. -7, and I'm going to take them to cover as well. I think they'll be one of those ones where you go, wow, they were really good. And then we all sort of get suckered, and then Houston starts sucking as well as the Harden stuff just sort of gets a bit unavoidable. Utah at Portland. Jesus, there's so many games. DFS picks for Utah-Portland. CJ McCollum, I think everyone will be like freaking out on Dame. The MVP buzz is out there for Dame right now. I think CJ pops up and has a really good one against Utah as Conley and co try to stymie Dame first. CJ pops off against the likes of Donovan Mitchell. So give me CJ's at 7.3K. Bojan Bogdanovic bouncing back, 5.1 if he gets out there. And Enes the Penis Kanter. And he's returned to Portland, 3.9K. That's a big one. Now, who's the pick, though? Utah-Portland. I'm actually going to take... Look, the Jazz are 1.5-point underdogs. I'm going to take the Utah Jazz. Portland, everyone's like losing their minds about it. So I think there's just going to be a little bit of a weird upset here. And I think Utah will win this. And I think it'll be a rip snort of a game. I think Utah cover and win by a couple. So they're only 1.5-point underdogs anyway, so it won't take much. And then finally, oh geez, finally, Dallas at Phoenix. What a great game. What an absolute ripper. And the Mavs are 1-point underdogs on the road in Phoenix. I'm going to take the Mavs +1, and I think they win, obviously, because to be +1, they'd have to win this one. I think Luke is going to be great, even without the zinger, the extreme zinger meal to kick off the year.
Extreme zinger meal.
He's definitely not the supercharged zinger burger.
Supercharged zinger burger.
At least not yet. But Luke is 10K for DFS. I'm taking that. And DeAndre Ayton. I'm signing all the way up for DeAndre Ayton this year. I think Chris Paul, talk about Devin Booker being unlocked by Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton is going to be absolutely smashing this year. And Cam Johnson for Phoenix as well. That's the sneaky other name on Phoenix that'll be really good. I think this game is going to be fantastic. I think the Mavs sneak it out. Give me the Mavs +1. So, my DFS lineup for tomorrow is going to be De'Aaron Fox, Dunkey Robinson on Miami, Malik Beasley out there in Minnesota, Bam Adebayo, DeAndre Ayton, Ja Morant. That's where a lot of my money's going as well. Chris Bobby Boucher and Marvin Bagley. See how you go with that. Love it. Wow, that was 13 games. Can you believe that? And if you want to go bet on any of these with those lines, etc., go to playupaustralia.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. You'll love it. Woo, that's it. Holy moly, we're done for today. We're done with the opening day of the NBA season. It's good to be back. And we are back tomorrow to wrap a huge Christmas Eve. So much going on. Jesus. I'll be late to the family chriso. Jesus. Better get a couple of tins in me and then walk over. Anyway, so enjoy tomorrow's show. It's going to be fun. Can't wait. Enjoy this one. And make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG. We're all back over it. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Go buy some merch. Buy a hoodie, buy a t-shirt, buy a stubby holder. If you're, you know, looking for a last minute gift, I'll get them out to you. Express post. How's that? Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you're using on the Android phone. If it does really help, it's the giving season. Give us a rating and review, would you? Come on! Go to thedailyliquor.com, use the code STRAYA, get a free six-pack. If you go to knowable.fyi and sign up using the code STRAYA, get 20% off that. They're amazing. I love them. You should too. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're up and running, out of time is out now, and it's unreal. Also, huge thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis. Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, whatever way you can support them. Look, bands have had it rough this year, same as everybody. NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. Give NFL Australia a listen as well. We're getting to the pointy end of the NFL season. It's heating up. Gaz and I are on form for that. It's really good, so I'm enjoying that heaps. And we'll be doing that, obviously, all the way through to the Super Bowl. It's on its own feed now, so go check it out, NFL Australia. All right, we're going to close off today's show with a brand new Jingles HR. And we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads, for Christmas Eve. But we're back. How good is this? Ah, love it. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen. The worst of Oh, g'day, Joe Ingles here. Oh, that's right, new dad again, just getting used to all the sleep deprivation and everything. But anyway, I'm also head of Jingles HR in this Christmas time. It's a very merry time of year. But we come up with HR solutions for you and your problems. Because, yep, I'm not just a dead set Aussie legend, the owner of a lot of real estate in Paul George's head, and everybody's favourite netball fan. But when I'm not sinking threes, talking trash, blowing kisses, looking after my kids, and getting set for this NBA season, I'm the world's leading HR expert. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Matty in Cleveland. Hey Joe, it's Matty here. Look, just wanted some quick advice for the work Chrissy party. I'm trying to stick in this new job, and my usual approach of get shit-faced and cause havoc might not be my best approach this year. Do you got any tips, mate? Cheers as Matty in Cleveland. Oh, jeez. Oh, thanks for writing in, Matty. Oh, jeez. I'll tell you what, you sound a bit familiar. Maybe like my little mate, Matty. He does pop culture reviews somewhere. But anyway, look. Seriously, look, as a HR expert, literally, I think 95% of my job is organizing the office Christmas party and then cleaning up personnel messes that arise from the Christmas party that I've organized. So yeah, look, as much as you want to let rip at the Christmas party, Matty, I would always emphasize caution when heading into one of these. Don't do coke in the boss's office. Don't bang Cheryl the receptionist in the dunnies. What you can do, however, mate, you can get away with a lot of shit at the Christmas party if you're the second drunkest person there, causing the second most amount of havoc. Because look, I'll tell you, as a HR expert, I've seen it a million times. No one will remember just what the second drunkest person at the Christmas party got up to. They will remember Roscoe from accounts getting shit-faced and spewing in the pot plants after hitting on the boss's wife in front of his own wife. And that's what everyone will be talking about come Monday. Not you, the second most drunk person there. You know, so just keep that in mind. You can go a bit wild, just don't be the wildest mad dog at the party. Because look, as we say here at Jingles HR, you can't get in trouble if Roscoe gets fired for what he did at the Christmas party. You know what I'm saying? So, what do you reckon? There you go, Matty. I hope you are on board your own advice there, Matty, and have a great Christmas party. And just keep a little bit of a lid on it, would you? All right. This has been Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Have a great Christmas. Don't get too messy at the party. And get a job up ya. Yeah.